Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Kama Tzadik Vav. We are at the 10th line off the top of the Amud. So we know that if a Gazlan steals something and then there's a Shinui that took place, a drastic change. We say Shinui is Kaina. The Gazlan now takes possession of this item, so the added value belongs to him. He only repays based on the value at the time of the theft. And even if it's not such a drastic shinui, such as added value within the entity itself, let's say there's wool growing on the sheep, etc. So in this case, according to some, the Ganav is also going to keep that extra. And Rashi brings, it's based on Takanas HaShavim. So according to some opinions, it's because we want to encourage, we want to facilitate repentance, we want to push him to do Teshuvah, to make it easier for him. So we say, look, you can keep the extra, just give back the main thing. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Gazal V'Yishbiach. So the Gazlan was Mashbiach, the item, it is now worth more. Umachar. And he sold it to another person. Or, after the item increased in value, he inherited it to his kids. Do we say that the next possessor can actually keep the shvach, or does he have to return it? No, he keeps it. The added value was given over to the customer, and he keeps it. Just as the gazlan can keep it, likewise the customer. It sort of carries over to the next person as well. Whatever increased under his care, Hayrish, goes over to his family. Boyerava, now comes a new question. Suppose this added value did not occur under the Gazlan's care. Boyerava, Yishbiach, Loikeach, Mao. So the Ganav stole, sold it, and the Loikeach, the customer, was the one who experienced that increase in value. Does he have a right to keep it or not? Basar, the Boyer, after Rava posed the question, Hadar Parshta, he concluded, yeah, of course, because ma mochan rishon l'sheni. What did Reuven sell Shimon? Kol zechus shetavel yod. Any rights, any benefits that he has, he passed it on. So just as the gazlan has a right to keep the shvach, likewise the customer. Boy Rava, what about if there's a guy in the middle here? Hishpiach oved kichav mao. So the guy stole an item and it got increased. You know, there was an increase in value. Does he keep it or not? I have a question. Takanta, you mean this special takana that we apply? Why would we do it for a guy? Special takana, takana sashavim. Why would you think? He says like this. Like Tzricha must be speaking. I'm not speaking that a guy wants to keep the shvach. He sold the item to a yid, so now the yid is in possession. Does he keep it or not? So if safe, well, ultimately, the person comes from a guy, he bought it from a guy, it's sourced in a guy's possession. It's treated like a guy's possession. Why would you give it any rights? Well, it's the answer is like this. Going to Gazal Yisrael, no, the original Ganav of the Yid, the Yid the Shiganav. He sold it to a guy who experienced this increase in value. And then, Vahadar Evit Gechavim, the guy turned around and sold to another yid. So now it started in the hands of a yid and currently in possession of a Yisrael. My was the Allah. Mi amrinan, shall we say, kivadi mi kari Yisrael, v'hadi Yisrael, since it started and ended in the hands of a Yisrael, avdi rabbana takanta, rabbana applied the takana, he keeps the extra. I do more, kivadi ika v'cham v'emza. Since there is a non-Yisrael in the middle of this process, it disrupts it. With the avdu, the rabbanat takanta, we don't apply the takana take. We leave it unresolved. Amar Papa. Now we proceed to a real, substantive type of shinui, where the item was drastically transformed or processed. We say shinui is kaina. The gazlan keeps it with all its added benefits and values, and only compensates based on former value. Amar Papa. Haiman the gazlan dikla mechaperi. Person robs a palm tree. Basically, he chops it off. Okay? chops off the tree. Avagav the shad mar la'aro the day, even though he threw it from the other guy's property into his yard. So there was a shinoi and, right? Loi kani. That doesn't constitute a sufficient and drastic change to make a kinyan. My time of why? What do you mean? It's a dead tree. Well, mi'ikara dikla mikri, v'ashto nam dikla mikri. Initially it was called a palm tree. It's still called a palm tree despite the fact that it's cut off. But dikla, it started as a palm tree, v'ovid guvi, and he turned it into, he chopped it into pieces. There as well, like kani, there's no kinyan. Why? It still retains its identity somewhat. Hashta miyas guvi. Even now, it's still called guvi de dikla mikri. Pieces of a palm tree. So it still has that original name. But guvi took pieces of that tree, vavdinu kshuri, turned it into beams. Totally new entity, new function. Kani, that's a kinyan. Or, let's say he took kshuri ravari, stole large beams. Vavdinu kshuri zushri. And he sort of split it into smaller beams, like kani. That's not enough of a transformation because it's still called a beam. But avdinu kitzutzaisa kani, turned the beams into just planks, into 2x4s, totally different type of function. That's called a kinyan. That's a proper shinui. Amarava. Here come more examples of shinui. Haiman the gazal liva avdinu hutzi. Person stole a palm branch, a lulav, not a kosher one that can be used for a mitzvah, just a palm branch, and he split the leaves into separate leaves. Kani. That's called a kinyan. Why? The mikar luliva, mikri. Initially it was called a lulav. Vashta vutzi. Now it's called branches. Hutzi vavdinu chufi. If he stole just, you know, palm leaves, right? Sorry. Hutzi means leaves. He stole leaves, avdinu chufi, and turned them into a broom. They used to make them into brooms. Kani, that too is considered a drastic enough change for kinyan. Mikara hutzi. Initially they were called leaves. Vashta chufya. Now it's a broom. What about chufya? He took a broom made of these leaves. Vaavdi shashura. He rearranged it into some sort of chain. Like kani, it's not a kinyan. My time of why? The hadar sasalu vav chufya. Because technically he can disrupt the chain and restore it into a broom. So it's a reversible change. Not a permanent state, and therefore, not a permanent change, and therefore, does not constitute a proper shinui. But here comes an interesting question. Nechleka hatiyoy mismau. He stole a proper lulav, a kosher lulav that can be used for a mitzvah, and the middle double leaf in the middle, up on top, that is called a tiyumas. That's sort of the, you know, face of the lulav, and that double leaf sort of got split. So does that disqualify the lulav from being used for mitzvah? In which case, it changes the function of the lulav and is considered a shinui? Tashma, here comes a right. The Amar Rabbi Masan, Amar Rabbi Shoban Levi, nitla hatiyemis pasl. Only if the tiyemis was totally cut away and removed from that lulav, that disqualifies it. Oh, but the Gemara at this point thinks, there's no difference. Ma'ilav, should we assume? Hu adin l'nechleka. Removal, split, it's all the same thing. So if it's pasl, it's a shinui. It can no longer serve as a kasher lulav. Loi, no, nitla shani, the chasula. Totally missing. Okay, it's missing a piece of the lulav. That I understand is a different entity and makes it possible. But if it's just split, perhaps it's still kasher for a mitzvah. Ikadamri, there was another version of this discussion, tashma. So the question was regarding nechlekatu yumas. Tashma, the marab mosin, omarab shimon levi, yeah, nechlekatu yumas. If the yumas gets split, Nasa kimi, we treat it as though shenitla, as though it was totally removed. It was puzzle, the lulav is puzzle. In which case, if the ganav did it, he's kainesh mamina. Amra pop. Hayman the gozel afra mechaveri. Imagine a fellow steals some earth, va'avdi levinta, and forms it into a brick. Like kani, it's not a kinyan, even though it changed forms. My time of why the hadar mashvi leafra, because you can just turn it back into earth by crushing the brick. So it's a reversible state. But the other way around, Levinti stole a block, valved the afra, and then crushed it into earth. Kani, that's a kinyan. You know why? My time. Dilma, my amr. So what are you suggesting? It's not permanent, because Dilma hadar va'avad Levinti can take that earth and form it back into a brick. Well, if he does that, it's a brand new entity. That's no longer the old brick. Hai Levinti achritihu. It's a brand new brick. Upanam chadashis bolukan has a new face. It's a brand new entity. And Rashi adds, because, firstly, it's a new thing, and secondly, in terms of its appearance, it's going to be wider, thicker, it's not going to have the exact dimensions, so it appears like a new entity. It's no longer the old piece. But my papa, a person steals a block of silver and turns them into, mints them into coins. Like, honey, that doesn't constitute a kinyan. My time of why? Because it's reversible. Hadar avid lu nascha. You can redo it into a block of silver. Zuzi v'avdinu nascha. He takes coins and melts them into a block of silver. Kani, that's a proper kinyan. My Amris, what do you ask? What are you suggesting? Hadar avid lu zuzi. Well, it's not a permanent change. He can reform it into coins. Well, in that case, panam chadashis bolokan, it would be considered a brand new entity, no longer the original item. What about shchimi? He stole old, you know, blackened coins. V'avdinu chaditi. And he polished them. He heated them in this kiln and he refurbished them into brand new shiny coins. Like honey, that's not a kinyan, because, as Rashi says, it's not going to stay shiny. It's going to get blackened and dirty again. That's not a permanent change. Chadati, he stole brand new shiny coins. V'avdinu shchimi, he turned them into black and dirty ones. Kani, that's a kinyan. My Amris, what are you suggesting? Hada avadu chadati. He has the option of refreshing them. Well, meida yidia shichmai. Ultimately, the blackness would still be discernible. The staining would still be there. So you can't really refresh them properly. Zakla. Let's go back to the Mishnah, which sets down a rule. Kala gazlan. Any robber, mishalman, kashas akzeli, pays based on its value at the time of the theft. Now, when we say zakla, typically we're trying to add something, a new dimension. Lasuya mai, what are we adding in this case? Which case is being added? Lasuya da amar bala. This is a chiddush based on Rabbalah's halacha. Ganav tlev nasa'il. A ganav steals a lamb and he holds on to it until it becomes a ram. That's a change of identity. It matured into a ram, a new entity. Or egel v'nasa shir, a calf turned into an ox. Nasa shina b'yad v'kanai. That's a real transformation. Now it relates to the ganav v'kanai. Tavach u'machar. So now if he proceeds by shechting it or selling it, which typically would trigger a five times payment, but in this case, no. Shaloyu taveyach, shaloyu meicher, identifies with the ganav. It's no longer that animal that he stole, and therefore he's not liable for the 4 or 5 times payment based on tvicha mechira. So that's the point of the Mishnah. Kol gazlan mishalm kshas gzeila. Even if it underwent this sort of natural progression, matured into a ram, matured into an ox, that too is considered a shinui, in which case the halacha is applied. How gavra the gazal padna the turi mechavre? Okay, this fellow stole a pair of oxen. Ozal karabu karbo. So he went ahead and he worked his field, he plowed, zorobu zara, he planted, and he grew a crop. The soif, adrin lamur, it turns out, he decided to give it back to the owner. Also, commanded Rav Nachman, so he came to Rav Nachman, Amarlu, he told him, zilu shumush of chadar, go evaluate the extra added, you know, benefit, the added value to this person's farm based, you know, as a result of this work, using his fellow's animals. Amarlu, Rava challenged this ruling. Turi ashbach, you mean only the oxen generated this added, you know, value in the field? Arale ashbach, what happened to the farm itself? Meaning, this value is inherent in the farm. It's not, you know, necessarily like the shvach we've been discussing all along, an added value, an added, you know, element within the stolen item. Here it's in the field. True, the animals contributed, but it's not really something on the animal. So basically, why would the farmer have to pay him, you know, the full value of the added, the crop, etc., which really was produced by the animal in conjunction with the field? Amar Sorav Nachman responded, "You're right. Mika mina nishay mukule. Did I tell you? Did I tell them to evaluate the full, you know, the full amount? Palu kamina meant half. So suppose he benefited X amount." Through this process, he pays 50% to the animal owner. Amalei Sarava responded, but even that, save, ultimately, gzeluhu, yukahadja be'ena. Ultimately, what happened? He stole the animal, he used it to work his field. Okay, but now he gives back the animal, he's done. It's not me, I have a Mishnah. Kala gazlan, mishal, mishasak, gzeluhu. You don't have to add all these residual benefits. that you benefit from the animal, you give the animal back and you're done. Amar lei, so he responded, you know what? Lei amina lecha, haven't I once told you? Ki asivna medina, when I officiate on a din Torah, lei tamal imidi, don't come and challenge me. De amar huna chavrin, because in fact, our colleague Hula, Rav Huna, said Eloi about me, ana, so myself, Rav Nachman, referring to himself, Ushvar Malka. Shvar Malka was the name of a Persian king. So Shmuel in the Gemara is referred to sometimes as Shvar Malka because Shmuel was an expert in halacha. He had the last word in terms of dinim. So basically, Rav Huna warned against meddling with myself or Shmuel. Ana Shvar Malka, achi bedina. He's my we're colleagues when it comes to our ability to rule properly in halachas. And basically, you know, rest assured, this was really thought through, and I'll explain to you why I obligated him to do this payment. It's not typical. It's something unusual and exceptional. I agree. Hi, Inish, this fellow that we're speaking of, Gazlan Altiku, he's a career robber. And I was compelled, I had to go and resort to something unusual and penalize him extra, above and beyond the letter of the law, in order to discourage his further, you know, availing himself to his neighbor's property. Continues the mission. Gazal behemah v'iskin. A fellow stole an animal and he held on to it until it got very old. Avadim v'iskinu, likewise, if he stole a slave and he held on to him until they've reached a, you know, ripe old age of, you know, 70. Mishalem kishasak zela, he has to pay, he's liable to its value at the time of the theft. He can't just get away with giving him the actual animal in its current state. Ramei Omer, I agree when it comes to the animals. But ba'avadim, when it comes to the slaves, an eved is like a piece of your estate, like karka, in which case gazela doesn't really affect its status. It sort of retains its ownership, it retains its identity. Ba'avadim, oim eloi, you can tell him, look, take back your eved. It's as though I never stole it. Harei, shechal afanecha, here's your eved. Continues the Mishnah. Gozla matbeya v'nistak. He stole a coin, and it was punctured, which makes it, you know, unfit for use. Peiros v'irakivu, he stole produce, which now got rotten. Yain v'hechmetz, wine, which soured. Mishalam k'shazak zela, he must repay based on its value during the theft. Matbeya v'nifsa. What about a coin which now sort of went out of circulation? So its change is not really visible, right? It's just that technically it can't be used. But it's not a tangible, physical change in the actual item. Truma v'nitzmas, he stole truma, which became tummy. Again, unfit for use, but it's not tangibly visible in the item. Chametz, another example, he stole chametz, and it's after Pesach. It's useless. V'avar v'pesach, behemah v'nevdebavir, he stole an animal, which was then used for Avera, which cannot be used for a carbon. Or for some other reason, it's not used for the Mizbeach. Or the animal killed somebody, it's going to be stoned. In all these cases, the animal is pretty much disqualified. In all these cases, you can just tell the owner, look, take your animal back, because it looks the same as before. Here's your animal. Amar Papa. When the Mishnah speaks about an animal which grew old, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Even if the animal is just now in a weakened state of health. In that case as well, the mission says you have to go back in time and pay him the past value. You can't just give it the way it is. Asks the Gemara Bahanan, but the mission says he's skinned now. We speak about an old animal. Who says it applies to even a case of a weakened animal? Who says that's a drastic enough, you know, change of status? Says the Gemara, "Chasha kikani skina t'lehada bari." When we speak about weakened, we're not speaking about a temporary weakness, some sort of serious weakness which will never be restored. So that's like old age. T'lehada bari. He's not going to recover, you know, his health and his strength again, and therefore is treated like his skina. You can't just give it back as is. Amale mak shisha breder v'chista l'ravash. Hachi ka'amri mishmed Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was quoted as follows. This is the Gemara we had before. Even a natural, progressive change, afilu gon of tlev and asa ayli, stole a lamb which turned into a ram, egov and asa shur, a calf into an ox, nas a shinui b'yad v'kani, that too is considered a shinui, and he's koine, and therefore, tavach ha-mocher, if he proceeds with tvicha and mechira, he doesn't pay four or five times as much, shalayu tovech, shalayu mecher, it's as though he did it to his animal. Amar le. So he responded, Lev Aminaloch, didn't I once tell you, Le Tachlev Gavri, don't just switch around names. This halach that you're quoting from Rabbi Yechanan, Hahu, Mishmei de Rabbi Loh, Yitma, really, it was quoted in the name of Rabbi Loh, he's the source of the halach. Now Mishnah says, Rabbi Yomer Ba'avadim, Oimer Loi, Haresh L'chol Afanechav, it's an old Eved, he can send them back as is. Why? As we explained, an Eved is like Karka, it's not affected by change, by stealing, could give it back, it's still his, as before. Omer B'chanina, Barav Dimi, Omer Rav. So Rav is quoted as saying, Halacha Rav Meir, we follow Rav Meir. You can send back the Eved as is. As opposed to the Rabban who say, no, you have to pay for it. Asks the Gemara, why would Rav pick the individual Shita of Rav Meir? In contrast to the Rabban, if Rav, Shavik Rabban, Rav abandoned the Rabban, the Rabban, Vavik Rav Meir, and chose Rav Meir? Why would he do that? Amri, the answer is like this. B'shem the Brais Ifchatanya. Because in the Brais, actually, the opinions are switched. So basically, the Rabbanon are the ones who say you can send back the Eved as is. And that's all Rav was saying. We follow Rav Meir's opinion in our Mishnah. You could send the Eved back as is, which corresponds with the Shita's Rabbanon, because that's really the Rabbanon's Shita, as we find in the Brais. Asks the Gemara, well, Mishnah Brais Ifchatani, I understand, but Rav Shalak Masnis and Vavik Brais, why would Rav, if he had a choice between, you know, going with the Mishnah's version and going with the Brais's version, why would he pick the Brais, which is less typically less reliable than the Mishnah? Answer is, Rav Masnissen Nam Ifchatani. Rav switched around the names of the Mishnah as well. Right? To be in line with the Brais. That in fact, according to Rabbanon, you can send back the Eved. On my time with the Rav, the Ach Masnissen, come with the Brais. Why would Rav edit the Mishnah based on the Brais's version? Adra, if anything, the other way around. Nefach lebraisa, mekam masnissen. He should edit the braisa because of the Mishnah. Amri, the answer is, Rav nami masnissen ifchat asne. Actually, Rav's, you know, Rebbeim, he was taught that way. That in the Mishnah, you meant to switch the names as well. So he chose that version. It says, Gemara v'ibo yisem, another option could be, kilo yafach. When don't we switch one because of the other? Chada mekam echada. So you don't do the Mishnah because of the Brais, when it's just one Brais. But Chadim Kamei Tarti, one Mishnah, on account of two Braises, which have it the other way, Afich, that justifies a switch in the Mishnah as well. So we had one Brais, which switched it around. We have another Brais as well, coming up the Sanya, which will prove that according to the Rabbanon, send back the Eved as is, the Eved is considered like Karka, unfazed, unaffected by a change of possession. Hamach Lepar B'chamar. So a fellow made a swap. Here, take my par, I'll take your chamor. We all done, the animal gave birth sometime in the middle. We're not sure, was it before he acquired it or afterwards? So we don't know who keeps the calf. Another example, he sold his maidservant, and she gave birth sometime in the middle. We don't know, before he bought it, after he bought it. So one guy says, you know what? It gave birth under my watch. Other fellow is not sure. He's silent. Zachaba. So the fellow who's confident in his claim, he keeps it. Okay? What about Zayim in Yadea? Zayim in Yadea. He says, I'm not sure. He says, I'm not sure. Yachloika, they split it. Zayim in Bishusi Yod. Zayim in Bishusi. What if Reuben and Shimon both are confident and absolute in their argument? He says, it was by me. He says, it was by me. Yishava HaMoicher. Shibirshusi Yod. So the seller makes a shvoi. He presents an oath that, in fact, it took place under his care. And he holds on to the offspring. That's the way we do it, rather than have the other fellow swear and take it. Lafi, because that's in line with the general principle and how the shvuah works. Lafi shakol and shvuah and shabatera. Typically, anybody making a shvuah in the Torah, the point is to hold on to your possession. Nishboin v'lemisham. The point is to swear to refrain from paying, to refrain from losing. Here as well, the meicher makes a shvuah and holds on to the animal. Whose sheet is that? Divrei Meir, who applies a shvuah with respect to a disagreement on the offspring of the maidservant. So you make a shvuah with respect to proving ownership on a slave. We treat him like any other item which justifies a shvuah. The Chachamim Aimrim, they disagree. A shvuah cannot be applied. You know why? You never make a shvuah with respect to a dispute pertaining to slaves or land, and that's based on psukim. So clearly the Rabbanon hold that an eved is treated like karka, like property, like real estate. So here we have another brisa that corresponds with the earlier brisa, that is the Rabbanon, not Rabbis. Rabbanon hold like an eved is treated like karka. Okay, that explains why Rav chose this opinion. Well, hi, halacha Rav Meir, so why would Rav get up and say, we follow Rav Meir? Halacha k'rabbanon mibayla. He should have said, well, we follow the Rabbanon, because according to him, their names are switched. The Rabbanon are the ones who hold that eved is like karka. Hachikami just meant to say like this. That's what he meant. He meant to say, according to your version, l'maydaf chisiv tanis, according to your version, that Rav Meir is the one who says, eved is like karka. So guess what? Halacha Rav Meir, that's how we paskin, like Rav Meir. Because, as we explained, Rav's version of events was that it's the Rabbanon really that hold that evidence like karka. So ultimately, you can send it back as is, even in his ripe old age. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. We discussed many examples of a proper shinui, what constitutes change, what doesn't really constitute permanent change, would not be considered shinui koine. We discussed even a case where an animal progressed to the next stage, tela to an ayil, egel to a shor, koin to a beloa. That too is considered a shinui. We discussed a case of the behemoth or the eved reaching old age. So when it comes to the behemoth, of course, he has to compensate based on its former value at the time of the theft, according to the regarding the eved. Well, that's a machlekes. So according to one opinion, you have to compensate. According to the other opinion, the eved is like karka, doesn't really get affected by this robbery. It's still considered in the owner's possession all along, and even now, when it's in its old age, you can just turn around and say, look, take your animal back, I'm not responsible. Take your eved back, I'm not responsible. And according to Rav, that's how we paskin. In fact, Rav holds that is shitas Rabbanon. All the best to you, and atzlocha Rav.